Good day, and welcome to the Kendrion First Quarter Results 2019 Analyst Call. At this time, all participants are on a listen-only mode. Today's conference is being recorded. Jo Van Beurden, Kendrion CEO, will start today's call with a short statement, after which there will be time for questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Jo Van Beurden. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. Welcome to Kendrion's Q1 2019 Results Teleconference. My name is Joep van Beurden, Kendrion CEO, and with me here is Jeroen Hemmen, our acting CFO. I will start the meeting with some remarks regarding our Q1 results, after which we have time for Q&A. We will post a recording of the Q&A on Kendrion's website as soon as is practicable. Would like to draw your attention to the fact that certain statements contained in my remarks and in the answers to your questions constitute forward-looking statements. These forward-looking statements rely on a number of assumptions concerning future events and are subject to uncertainties and other factors, many of which are outside the company's control, that could cause actual results to differ materially from such statements. As you have seen from our press release of this morning, we've had a difficult quarter as the global automotive market continues to be under pressure. Car sales in Europe declined with 4%, in the U.S. with 3%, and China even with 13%, relative to the same period last year. Unsurprisingly, this has had a significant impact on our automotive revenue, which declined by 13% compared with Q1 2018. Industrial was somewhat weaker as well, but remains at a healthy overall level. What I would like to emphasize this morning is that despite the difficult market conditions in the short term, we continue to apply our resources and investments in our areas of focus. In passenger cars, we are focused specifically in the areas of electrification, autonomous driving, in safety, and in comfort. In industrial, we focus on electromagnetic brakes for robotics, and we continue to invest in China, where we see healthy growth opportunities and indeed healthy growth. Over the past years, we have significantly simplified and streamlined our organization. This has resulted in cumulative savings of almost 20 million euro in 3 years and has significantly improved our organizational resilience to market uncertainties. While we continue to focus on further improving operational effectiveness and containing cost levels, we also continue to invest in the longer-term opportunities in front of us that are driven by trends that are not impacted by short-term cyclicality. We take a long-term view of the opportunities, both in our automotive and industrial activities, and these remain intact. In that context, I am pleased to report that in China, despite a weak local trading environment, we have grown our year-on-year revenue by more than 20% as we ramp up multiple new production lines. Next, let me review our financials. The market for passenger cars is really quite difficult, as evidenced by the weak year-over-year car sales figures I just mentioned. While we do expect that the testing backlog caused by the implementation of the new WLTP testing protocol will be mostly gone by the start of the second half of 2019, the uncertainty about the China-U.S. trade relationship, continued confusion around Brexit, and ongoing pressure in diesel are still with us. In the first quarter of 2019, revenue decreased by 10% compared with the first quarter of 2018, and 11% at constant exchange rates. In automotive, revenue decreased by 13% compared with Q1 2018, continuing the trend of the second half of 2018. In industrial, revenue was also under pressure and decreased by 5% compared with a strong Q1 2018. The German machine building index continued to decline, but is still at a good level. The operating result before depreciation and amortization, or EBITDA, decreased by 28% to 12.7 million euro compared to a normalized 17.7 million euro in Q1 2018. In automotive, lower costs did not offset the lower production volumes, and the revenue decrease in industrial also meant that profitability decreased in all three business units. Total staff and other operating expenses were slightly below the level of the first quarter of 2018. Our staff costs decreased by 1.1 million euro, driven by cost measures taken in automotive at the end of 2018, while other operating expenses increased compared with the same quarter in 2018. This is mainly due to a different phasing of costs incurred for promotional and other activities. In percentage terms, our EBITDA margin decreased to 11.8% from 14.6% a year earlier. The effective tax rate in Q1 2019 was 25.1% compared to 23.7% in Q1 2018. Net profit in the first quarter of 2019 was 4.3 million euro compared with a normalized 8.1 million euro in Q1 2018. Kendrion's financial position is strong. The net debt position at the end of the first quarter was 87.6 million euro compared with 80.5 million euro at year-end 2018. The increase in debt is in line with our first quarter free cash flow. First quarter cash flow is traditionally negatively impacted by seasonal effects, as working capital levels at year-end are typically low because of low activity levels in December. Free cash flow was further impacted by increased inventory levels, which are somewhat higher due to reduced demand. We will maintain our focus on reducing working capital in general and inventory levels in particular over the next quarters. Investments amounted to 5 million euro in the first quarter at a depreciation level of 6 million euro. We continue to expect investments for the full year to exceed depreciation levels, largely due to new automotive projects. Kendrion's financial position remains strong, with a solvency ratio of 48.5% at the end of March 2019, compared with 50.2% at the same time last year. The total number of full-time equivalent employees decreased from 2,465 at the end of 2018 to 2,450 at the end of the first quarter. And this included 94 temporary employees at the end of the first quarter 2019. The number of indirect FTEs decreased by 30 as a result of the restructuring measures in Malente. Compared to a year ago, our headcount is reduced with 150 FTEs, reflecting both the reduced activity level on the direct employee side and the simplification and streamlining on the indirect and management side. Finally, a few words on our outlook. The short-term outlook for the automotive industry remains unchanged, and we see modest softening of the industrial markets as well. We expect our activities in China to continue to grow strongly. Our balance sheet remains strong, enabling us to continue investing for the long-term opportunities that remain intact. We are confident about our business model, our activities, and our market positioning. For the medium term, we remain positive about our business fundamentals, with our main objective being to deliver sustainable, profitable growth for our business in the medium to long term, and we reiterate our medium-term targets of a return on investment of at least 20% and an EBITDA margin of more than 15% by 2023. I now open the line for your questions.
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question at this time, please press star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find the question has been already answered, you may remove yourself by pressing star 2. I repeat again, press star 1 for questions. We'll take the first question from Beatrice Ellen from Berenberg. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Beatrice.
Hi,
good morning.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hi, happy New Year. Thank you for taking my question. I just had a couple of comments. On automotive, it seems like there's been a bit of a further deterioration this quarter in terms of it's a bit worse than it was even at the end of last year. Why is that? And do you expect that to kind of that level to continue into Q2, or do you expect some improvement, particularly in terms of the comments that have been made around China being better in Q2?
This is all going to be shades of grey, to be honest, Beatrice. We don't really view this as a further deterioration. I would say it is to Q1 compared to Q4, very similar. We're also looking at year-over-year comparisons. Q1 last year was a strong quarter for us, both on automotive and industrial. So that can skew it a little bit. It feels weaker than it was in Q4. I from a market perspective, and also when I make an interpretation of the trading environment, I would say very, very similar. Q2, the outlook is unchanged. Maybe a bit of a touch better because of the WLTP, but it's all trapped by uncertainty around geopolitical uncertainty. Where, a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, I was probably a little bit more positive on the US-China trade relations. Now that seems to be very uncertain as well. And that is going to be quite a major factor when it comes to consumer confidence and ultimately levels of car sales, in my view. So Q2, again, similar shades of grey relative to Q1, second half, too early to call.
Okay. And in terms of your kind of mid to longer term pipeline, are you seeing already some slippage in terms of people delaying contracts, or is that not happening?
No, that is not happening at all, and I would point to China, which is kind of an interesting environment where you can see both the long and the short term at play. So we talked about a revenue growth of more than 20%, which is clearly very, very good, but compared to our initial expectations, that was actually also lower because the local trading environment there is under pressure. Why are we still growing is because we are also ramping some of the medium to longer term projects that we won over the past couple of years, and that is moving ahead as planned. So this is, I think, the general theme. The cyclicality is what it is, and of course we need to deal with that, and we live through it, and you can see that, of course, in our quarterly results. When we look at the longer term opportunities, when you look at investment levels at our customers, when you look at the discussions that we have on exciting new opportunities and technologies for electrification, autonomous driving, etc., none of that has changed. That truly remains intact. So in that context, it is extremely important. This is one of the things I really try to emphasize, both in the release but also in my prepared remarks, that because of the resilience we have after all the streamlining and that we did over the past years, we are in a position that despite cyclicality, we can continue to invest in the medium to long term, which is going to be very important for the next couple of years.
Sure. Okay. In terms of just to kind of go on a comparable basis, European car registrations declined by only 3% this quarter. What's causing the delta between kind of 3% and 11 to 13% for you guys?
That is the export to China. So we are present in quite higher-end cars. There's a lot of these cars actually find their way into China, and that is one of the main areas where we see weakness, specifically in the somewhat more higher-end luxury segment.
Okay, great. And then one final question on industrial. In terms of, could you just give us a bit more comment on trends between the different divisions?
So on this deal, a couple of things to say about this. One is that we are between the three, we have three business units, but we're actually present in around 30 different segments. So you can imagine that some of these segments, you know, are more stable and more resilient than others. So that is always a factor. Now, the other thing to note is that you see we're going back a little bit relative to Q1 2018. That was a very strong quarter specific to industrial, so that is one element. And the other element to mention is that the German machine building index has gone down, I think, for the past 8 months or so. But it's still really at a good level. So if you want to give it a mark out of 10, the first half of last year, industrial, from a market perspective, trading perspective, I would give that a 9, and now we're probably at 7.5 to 8. So it's still quite good. It's simply a little bit less excellent than it was about a year ago.
Okay, great. And between IDS, IMS, and IDS, what kind of trends are you seeing between those three?
Not much daylight between them. It is really a matter of ICS tends to be the most stable one because there we are in medical and in fluid control applications. We're also there producing the actuators for the oxygen release mask, the release mask for oxygen in the plane. That tends to be very stable business, less prone to geopolitical trends, where if you, for instance, on the IMS side, we are more in the textile industry, energy applications, that tends to be a little bit more cyclical.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a little bit more segment-related than necessarily directly related to these business units. So medical, aerospace, fluid control, more stable, and the other segments are a little bit more cyclical, which they always are.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Beatrice. And I would like to read again. It's again press star 1 for questions. We'll pause for a moment to allow anyone to signal for questions. Right, we'll have another one. Martin Verbeek, The Idea. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Good morning, it's Martin of The Idea. Two questions. Firstly, on the other operating expenses, you mentioned that there has been some phasing differences compared to last year. What are your projections for the year? Do you expect that these will be lower than last year? And I'm certainly still coming back to the automotive sales. Since you mentioned that the delta with the market itself and what you presented has a lot to do with the export to China, but still that's a massive gap. And also when I look at the diesel sales lately, using German statistics, the diesel sales were even up in the first quarter of 2019 compared to last year. It was minimal, but still. So could you still give some bit more color about the drop, the decline of automotive sales?
Yeah, Martin, good morning. So I'll try to give you a bit more color on automotive, and then Jeroen will talk about the OPEX. So you can probably appreciate that the actuators that we sell into automotive are going to all sorts of different cars and models. It is very difficult for us to actually gauge specifically how all these models perform in the context of what is a poor market. The export certainly plays into that. I must say that your remark about diesel is what we have seen as well. So the diesel revenue in Q1 was actually surprisingly healthy compared to what we've seen in the quarters before. So clearly also that is something that we saw. Don't forget you're always comparing with a quarter in the year before. And there is also, sell-through is clearly an indicator, but there is inventory effects as well. So it is really difficult, even for us, to make a exact sources of change of exactly, you know, how the market connects to the actual trading that we do. But I can tell you one significant effect for sure has to do with export of luxury high-end cars, example S-Class Mercedes cars to China, which is really taking quite a hit compared to what it was a year ago. Jeroen?
Yeah, so the other operating expenses higher than last year. So part of the other operating expenses are quite stable, but there are also some more lumpy expenses in this. It relates to, for example, promotional expenses, consulting expenses for certifications, things like that. We also have some search costs for key vacancies. So that accumulated a little bit more than usual in the first quarter. So last year you can say that the first quarter OPEX was lower than the average for the year, and this year it will be round about let's say average, but I do not want to give an exact guidance on where the cost will end up.
But we say one thing to add is that, you know, talked a bit about the simplification drive in terms of the big programs. You will have noticed that in each one we haven't normalized any costs, so that is largely behind us. But we continue to be very keen and very focused on cost levels in general, including OPEX. So you rest assured that we, for the remainder of the year, we're going to be very very stingy where we can on these and other costs.
But then, remember to mention with the simplification, when I look at the other operating costs corrected for charge which was included there last year, you arrived at the 26.2. So more or less that will be a number which you intend not to like to see higher this year?
Well, as I said, so we're going to be stingy. Now, at the same time, we are not taking away from our longer-term opportunities. So that means we are not taking any actions that would in any way impact our ability to make use of these opportunities we see down the road. Having said that, you know, it's a difficult trading environment. You heard my remarks about what we expect for Q2. Who knows what will happen in the second half? So rest assured, we're going to be very focused on other operating expenses and any other costs for that matter.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Martin. At this moment, there is no further questions. I would like to turn the call back to Joop van Beurden for any additional or closing remarks. Please go ahead.
Well, everybody, thank you very much for attending the call. If you have any follow-on or further questions, you know where to find us. Thank you very much.
That concludes today's conference. Thank you, everyone, for your participation. You may now disconnect.